This is a Sichuan News Update. In the summer of 1968, performing a once-in-a-lifetime gig, a band of Bangkok-bound teenage boys decided to record their live performance, an album that never saw the light of day, until now. Flash forward to the summer of 2016, music aficionado Marcus Pollard of Victoria and his wife were visiting Portal Burnie. On the trip, he decided to visit his favorite consignment store, This and That. That is where he found an acetate record of an unknown psych rock band, The Glass Cage.
So yeah, I bought a bunch of kooky records, bunch of comic books, including this one that was an acetate, and it just said side one and side two on it. And it was $4 and it was trashed. So I said, well, of course I have to get that. It's trashed. And that was it. About a couple of weeks later, I guess I got home and I just kind of tossed it on a pile. And then a couple of weeks later, I went and listened to it and went, holy crap, what the heck is this?
Having spent many years as a performer and booker in Victoria, Pollard says he has a good eye for seeing a spark in someone when they're still early on in their career. As a vinyl collector, he says he finds a lot of rare things. But he says 99 times out of 100, those things never leave a lasting impression on him.
But this, it just blew out of my speakers, and I've just thought, what the hell is this? I was listening to who was it? Somebody was talking about the first Radiohead record, and they said not the second one, which everybody likes, but the first one. She said it just smelled like BO and teenagers, and that's kind of what this record to me sounded like. It just sounded like youth, you know, brawny boy youth. It was pretty cool.
From there, Pollard says he needed to find out who was involved in the young psych rock band. So he started looking.
I talked to dozens of experts in the field and collectors and archivists, and all of them went, no idea, no idea, no idea.
One day in 2018, on a post Pollard had made about the band on a Facebook page about Canadian music appreciation, he got a hit. Band member Norm Roth.
I thought he's going to ask me for my credit card and that we can get together, you know, or something like that, or he, you know. So I called him up and it all checked out.
Roth was one of the founding members of the Nanaimo-based band, The Glass Cage. Together with bandmates, 60 years earlier, he had written and sang the songs on the album. Then teenagers, Roth was the lead vocalist, Wayne Harbord was lead guitar, Clayton Millen was on bass, the late Terry Morrison was on keyboard, and the late Doug Hastings was on drums.
Well, old Pop, who made the recording, said, this is something you fellows will cherish for years to come, and we did.
That was Wayne Harbord, who came down to the CHY studio along with Clayton Millen and Pat Carpenter. Carpenter was one of the founding members of The Glass Cage, who was replaced by Harbord before they recorded the album. Carpenter says that in 1966, while he and Millen were 15 years old, the two boys decided to form The Glass Cage. Both were attending Nanaimo District Secondary School at the time.
The first guy that we got was Doug Hastings on drums. Clayton knew Doug, and we asked him if we could do a rehearsal or two. He sounded great, so that was a good start. He had a place, in those days they called it a rumpus room, a rec room down in the basement, you know, that we could practice in. So that was fantastic. We needed a lead singer, and Norm Roth was also at high school at the time. He was singing with a group that was kind of more folk-based called We Three, and he had a great voice, and so we asked him, you know, would you like to become part of the band? We were fortunate enough to get him. And then the last person we added, of course, was Terry Morrison on keyboards and backup vocals. And his previous band, which was called The Cry for Justice, had broken up. And so we jumped on that right away and asked him. And that was how the whole band came together.
Millen says as a band, they took their music seriously, wanting to make it big. They toured across the province, playing every show possible. Millen says shortly after Harbord joined the band, they took part in a Battle of the Bands event in Vancouver, where they took on the local band Winter's Green, a band increasing in popularity. That band would one day change their name to Trooper.
We lived on West 64th off of Granville Street, and Winters Green would come over and spend a lot of time at our place, and plus the Collectors, who morphed into Chilliwack, and they would come over there. So we spent a lot of time, and we practiced like crazy all the time, and it was great fun. And we learned a lot, of course, because these guys coming over from other bands that were huge even at that time were really informative and gave a lot of information.
Then, when the band got invited to perform at the opening of the Fuller Lake Arena in Chemainus, BC, they knew this would be the perfect moment to finally record the music they have been playing for the last couple of years. Harbord says they got Jack Taylor, or Pop, as they called him, to come by and record their live set. Taylor owned the store, Sewing and Sound, on Nanaimo's Commercial Street, located where the Vancouver Island Conference Center now sits. Sewing and Sound was a store that he and his wife ran for sewing machines and music. Carpenter, who worked at the store after school, remembers Taylor's interest in audio recording. Taylor had a number of reel-to-reel recorders, which he used to record the band's performance.
And he was selling tape recorders, radios, all kinds of stuff, early cassette recorders. And at the time that he did this kind of recording, 8-track stereo was the big thing. Everybody had an 8-track machine in their car. You know, that was kind of the standard thing. And the 8-track tapes were probably, you know, about 6 inches by 4 inches. They're fairly, fairly big. But they would sound great in the car. You'd have speakers sort of set up in the back and the front.
The band recorded 5 of the original tracks, all written by Roth, as well as a cover of the Outside Woman Blues by the band Cream, and an outro jam session. But shortly after, as the boys and their band were getting older, their time as the Glass Cage came to an end, leaving the original recording without a proper release.
What did break up the Glass Cage? Well, it's a morphing process, basically. You just kind of decide on what you want to do. We changed the name again to Lemon, and we were going up and down the island doing gigs and that, but we were getting better and better, and people were telling us we were doing that.
Millen says he can't fully remember why the band broke up, but says it was just something that slowly morphed into everyone going their separate ways. So, in 1969, the Glass Cage, then called Lemon, came to an end. Or so they thought. In 2018, after first finding the album and meeting with the band, Marcus Pollard just knew he needed to get this album out to a wider audience.
I'm not a religious person, but I think that once I heard the record, and once I realized that nobody else had heard the record, I felt that it was a sin against nature if I didn't get this out to the world. I really did. I felt that that for me to turn my back on this and turn my back on these people who I had met, I felt I couldn't do it.
So Pollard teamed up with his friend Jason Flower, a musician and archivist out of Victoria, who created the archival record label Supreme Echo. The two then started working to bring this 60-year-old recording to a modern audience, while Flower worked with a team in California and New York to boost the original audio to modern standards. Pollard started researching the history of the music scene in Nanaimo. He says he found that there wasn't much written about the music scene in Nanaimo during the 1960s.
There, nobody really seemed to know any of these bands. So I ended up, you know, writing a booklet for the record. It's about 5,000 words, but we got photographs of all of the bands, and just I hope that people in Nanaimo who were there will be able to go, yeah, this is it. This was it. This was our scene.
Pollard was also able to commission Salt Spring Island artist Bob Massey to design the cover art for the album. He describes Massey as one of the greatest poster artists of the 60s and 70s, who's best known for making posters for bands like the Tragically Hip, David Bowie, The Doors, Pink Floyd, and even the legendary Woodstock Music Festival. Working on this project has been a worldwide success for the original band members, finally seeing their album released on vinyl for the first time. This past Sunday, the first of 3 album release parties were held for the Glass Cage's album, Where Did the Sunshine Go? Carpenter says the album release party at Neptune Records in Vancouver was an amazing experience.
I actually couldn't believe the response. There is a whole kind of community of garage band, so-called aficionados, all over the world. And these guys have grabbed onto this. There were probably 60, 70 people who showed up in Neptune Records there, buying up copies of the record. We played it in the store, and everybody heard all the tunes. And it was just a great experience to meet everybody there.
Harbord says it's been great to get all the recognition from the work they did back in the 60s.
My youngest boy and my oldest son, they both heard the record on when they played a bit of it on YouTube. And they said, "Dad, that's fantastic. We're not going to be a forgotten grunge band. People will know who the Glass Cage was."
While Millen had to miss the first album release party due to illness, he says he is just so happy to see his album have its second chance in the sun.
Yeah, like we're not kids anymore. I mean, I'm 75 years old myself. So, you know, it's been a thrill. Everything morphs from one thing to another. And when it got to the end for me, I thought, okay, that's fine. I'm happy with what we did and how we did it.
Having the album finally be finished, Pollard says he feels so happy about how it turned out.
Jason and I had lived with this music for so long that we weren't really sure if it was great or not, you know, because we were kind of too familiar with it. So to see the world, literally the world, open up and go, yeah, this is as cool as you thought it was, is spectacular. And at the first party, the one at Neptune, it was all smiles, just ear to ear smiles. It was amazing to see. And these guys, you know, they're super spry, and they're all just, you know, being rock stars. Their record's getting reviewed. They've never had reviews before, you know. It's crazy. It's just, it's so satisfying.
Pollard says being at the first album release party was such a surreal experience, seeing everyone meet each other and hear the music again for the first time.
The keyboardist, Terry Morrison, he passed away in September, but his daughter showed up to the record release party, and she and I had been, I actually found her and just told her about the project and invited her to come. So you can only imagine what that would be like. Like, she'd never heard the music before, you know, and her dad is all over it. Like, his keyboard is all over the record, and 15 levels of gratifying. So, and that was, you know, watching her just sit there and cry happily listening to the music was a beautiful thing. So
the group is now gearing up for their last two album release parties on Saturday, February 21st at the Royal BC Museum in Victoria, and on Sunday, February 22nd, at the Vault Cafe in Nanaimo. The release party at the Royal BC Museum is already sold out. Vinyls of Where Did the Sunshine Go will be available for purchase at the release parties. Physical and digital copies of the album can also be purchased on the band's Bandcamp. While not all the members of the Glass Cage are able to see what has come of the recording, Carpenter says they are grateful for every second getting to celebrate the music they once all shared together.
I'd like to pay tribute to Terry and Doug, who were, of course, huge part of the band, and just pay tribute to them for their contribution, and may they rest in peace.
For CHY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.